Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin the shiur, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, which reads as follows. Mechiras Eved Lesuria. If one has a slave, one should recognize that a slave is obligated in mitzvos similar to a woman. In other words, the slave is exempt from those kind of mitzvos that a woman is exempt from. We know that selling a slave to chutzlaretz, if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you have a slave, you are not allowed to sell him to chutzlaretz. And if one does, that slave goes free. And the reason for that is that while one is in Eretz Yisrael, he has mitzvos that is obligated in, that when in chutzlaretz, he's not obligated in. So you're basically shirking from yourself or relieving yourself from mitzvahs by leaving Eretz Yisrael. So that's not a proper thing to do to the slave. So what is the halacha with regard to the land region that we refer to as Surya? Now, let's continue in the Gemara itself. Rabbi Meir Omer Akko Keretz Yisrael v'chulei. Rabbi Meir said that Akko is, which was the northern extreme of Eretz Yisrael, is considered like Eretz Yisrael with regard to Gittin. Bo mine Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Hamoicher Avdo l'Surya Kemoicher b'chutzlaretz domi oy loy. Selling a slave to a purchaser in Surya. Surya is also known as Aram Tzova. This is an area that King David, that Dovid HaMelech, had captured and attached it to Eretz Yisrael. And our question is, the kibush of Dovid, does that constitute actual Eretz Yisrael with all the halachas of Eretz Yisrael? Or possibly no? So Omar Lahu, so the question had been raised, asked of Reb Chiya. He answers Tanisuha. You can answer from our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Akko Keretz Yisrael Legitin. Akko has the status of Eretz Yisrael with regard to Gittin. Legitin in Lavodim Lo. Only with regard to Gittin, which is dependent on, we'll say, knowledge of halachas, of lishma, that a get has to be written with the proper intention, with the proper intent for that particular couple. You have to have the couple in mind. Also, regarding travel between Akko and Eretz Yisrael, so you have people that will recognize signatures, as we've discussed in the past. So with regard to Gittin, we can consider Akko like Eretz Yisrael. However, la'avodim lo, but as far as Akko having the status of Israel with regard to the issue of selling a slave to a purchaser in Akko, not so. It would not be considered part of Eretz Yisrael. For kol shekein Surya demerachka tuva, and all the more so Surya, which is even further away than Akko is. So if selling a slave to Akko is like selling him to outside Israel, all the more so selling the slave to someone in Surya. Tanu Rabbanan. B'shloisha drachim shavsa Surya l'Eretz Yisrael u'b'shloisha l'chutz l'aretz. There's 6 points, 3 of which Eretz Yisrael and Surya have these points in common. Regarding the three other points, you will see a difference. This also is our topic heading on the side. Surya, Begimel Dvarim Doimel Eretz Yisrael, Begimel Dvarim Doimel Lechutz Laretz. And the Gemara gives you a mnemonic, Simen, Arv, Bar, Rak. And we start off with the three in which Surya is paralleled to Chutz Laretz. Afra, Tomei, Kechutz Laretz. The dirt of Surya is a source of Tumah, is a source of defilement, just like the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Rashi adds a point that's important for us, three lines from the bottom. Afrotame, Shegozru Olal. The rabbis ruled upon the dirt of Surya, giving it the same Tumah status as the dirt of Chutz Laretz. There is a concept of Tumas Eretz Ha'amim that's associated with Tumas Meis, a status of defilement to the dead that's associated with Chutzlaretz. Here we're not going to elaborate on why, what the reason, what's the basis for that. Just we're stating that as a given, that Chutzlaretz has a status of Tumas Meis. And here we're saying that the dirt of Surya is considered like the dirt of Chutz Laretz. And Rashi goes on to say, V'afagav d'sfirle la'aitana ki b'shiochit shmei kibush. Even though this Tana is of the opinion that the conquest of the individual in this case is a reference to King David, it was a conquest of a land region, but done as, let's say, we'll call it a private effort on the part of Dovid HaMelech, as opposed to an effort involving all of the people of Israel. So that's called Kibush Yochid. But this Tana holds that it's considered a full-fledged Kibush, a full-fledged conquest. Kidiktoni, this source will tell us, Chayavis B'Meiser, you have to practice tithing from there, from produce that grows in Surya. Even so, there is this rabbinic defilement that's imposed upon it, which makes it sound as if it's not Eretz Yisrael. Eretz obviously does not have rabbinic defilement upon it. Nevertheless, Surya does. So we're straddling a fence, so to speak, and we already indicated that in the opening, that in three areas Surya is like Eretz Yisrael, and in three areas it's like Chutz Laretz, outside Eretz Yisrael. Let's continue in our Tanaic source. V'amocher avdoi l'Surya k'mocher b'chutz laretz. Selling a slave from Eretz Yisrael to Surya is like selling him to a purchaser in Chutz Laretz. The markings that you see under particular letters here, you see the ayin of Afra and the bays of avdoi. That gives you a connection to the original Simen. The first two letters were Av. We continue. V'hameivi get misuria kemeivi lo michutzarts. Bringing a get from Surya to Eretz Yisrael is like bringing a get from any other place in the world to Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says that, well, the reason for that is that you... First of all, the law would be that an agent, a shliach, that brings the get from Surya to Eretz Yisrael, he has to make the announcement of b'fonai nechta, b'fonai nechtam, which is tantamount to his verification of signatures, of the signatures in the get. Without that, we're going to be very hard-pressed to find people in Eretz Yisrael that will recognize the signatures of those who sign in Surya, as, because you don't have frequent travel between the areas. As Rashi says, lo shchichi shayarta. Shayarta are caravans. Caravans are not common. If they were, so you would have people going back and forth that would be able to recognize the signatures that are signed in the get prepared in Surya. That being absent, so the shliach has to make the announcement, just like any get that's brought from Chutz Laretz. U'b'shloisha l'Eretz Yisrael. Naturally, you can see the double underlining that's featured here highlights these two categories. So that here we have the second category, that namely those areas of law that Surya is like Eretz Yisrael. Chayeves b'maiser b'shvias k'Eretz Yisrael. Produce that grows in Surya must be tithed. like produce grown in Eretz Israel, and when the sabbatical year comes, agricultural activity is prohibited in Syria, like in Eretz Israel. V'roitzeh likonis lo betara nichnas. If one wants to enter Syria in a, while preserving his state of purity, he can do so. It's possible to do so, which is not the case with someone who would desire entering Chutz La'aretz in a state of maintained purity. That would be, according to this source, that would not be possible. That will be explained later, though, how and why, what are we talking about. After all, we did say that the ground of Surya is a source of defilement. Then third point, Vakina Sadeh B'Surya, one who purchases ground in Surya. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, Kikina B'Parvore Yerushalayim. It's similar, it's the same as buying land in the outskirts of Jerusalem. What that means, what type of halachic ramification does that present, that will be discussed later. Chayeves b'maiser b'shvi'as Eretz Yisrael, the source mentioned that Surya is obligated to have the produce grown there tithed like produce grown in Eretz Yisrael. Kosovar kibush yochid shmei kibush. We explained this by reading Rashi earlier. This is the idea of the conquest of David HaMelech, who conquered that area called Surya. He did so without the participation of the rest of the Jewish people. What exactly happened? He had a type of private army that accomplished this conquest for him, maybe. But it was, as Rashi says, it wasn't like the conquest of the bulk of the land of Israel, which Yehoshua conducted with armies from all of Israel, all of the Jewish people. Nevertheless, even though it's this private conquest, it's considered a conquest. It has the status of Eretz Israel, enough so that tithing and is required and Shemitah must be observed in Surya. This, by the way, is a point of controversy. You find other sources that will tell you that kibush yachid lo shmei kibush, but this source is of the opinion that kibush yachid shmei kibush. V'roitzeh likonis lo betara nichnas. We also saw that point, that it's like Eretz Yisrael in the sense that if one wants to enter Surya and maintain his purity, he can do so. More asks, how can you say that you can enter Surya and maintain purity? V'amris afrotome. But did you not say that the dirt of Surya is a source of tumah? Rabbinic tumah was imposed on its dirt. So once you trod upon the ground of Surya, you become defiled. The Gemara answers, Beshida teva umigdal. If you enter Surya without trodding on the ground, on the dirt, but rather you're contained within an enclosed cart. Different kinds of carts or means of transportation are referred to here in the Gemara by these three terms, Shida, Teva, Umigdal. There's no need to give a literal translation to them, but for our purposes, it's a case where the traveler is enclosed within these units, hence he's not trotting on the dirt. Desanya, Hanichnas Le'eretz Ha'amim. Here we have a source that doesn't deal directly with Surya, it deals with Eretz Ha'amim, the areas outside of Eretz Yisrael, totally outside the land of Eretz Yisrael, and also to the exclusion of Surya for the time being. One who enters Eretz Ha'amim, Beshida, Teva, Umigdol, Rebbe Metame, Rebbe Yosef Revita Metayer. Rebbe says you're not protected in Eretz Ha'amim in the Shida, Teva, Umigdol. You become defiled. Rebbe Yosef Revita says you are protected. Vafilu Rebbe lo kometame elo be'Eretz Ha'amim. Even Rebbe, who has this strict approach, he says that the tumah will say penetrate the Shido Teva Migdal. That's only when you're dealing with Eretz Ha'amim. The Gozru al Gusha vial avira. A rabbinic tumah was imposed not only on the dirt, but also the avir, the air. So that the idea of a Shido Teva Migdal serving as a protection, yes, that can serve as a protection against gush, against the dirt. But if you hold that the avir, the entire atmosphere, has been is considered defiled, then you're not going to be protected by the Shita Teva Migdal. So Rebbe has this stringency that the Shita Teva Migdal do not protect, but that's only when you're dealing with Eretz Ho'amim. Aval Surya. Surya is a different category. But when it comes to Surya, Al Gusha Gazru, Al Avira Lo Gazru. Tumah was imposed on the dirt, the ground, not on its airspace. And therefore, if you are not trotting on the dirt, you're contained within the Shita Teva Migdal. Even Rebbe will acknowledge that when in Surya, you are protected. The Tumah was imposed only on the dirt, not the atmosphere. We mentioned that earlier, and if you want to see where this quote comes from, so we have a star indicating Omid Aleph, and you would find the parallel star there. What does this mean, though? Lamai Hilchasa, regarding what is this stated, that purchase of land in Syria is like purchase in metropolitan Yerushalayim. Omar of Sheshes Lomar. This tells us Shekosvin Olav Oinoi V'Afilu V'Shabbos. You can write an Ono. Ono is a shtar. a shtar Mechira is a document through which a sale is concluded. And here we're talking about buying land in Syria. If you were to buy land in Eretz Israel, you are performing an important mitzvah. It's called the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Israel. Especially when we speak about buying land from Gentiles, from idol worshippers. Buying their land is a mitzvah. So, since you're dealing with a mitzvah, Rav Sheshes tells us that buying, that in explaining the Tanaic source, it said buying land in Syria is like buying land in the suburbs of Yerushalayim. You can have a shtar prepared. You can write up a shtar even on Shabbos. Do you really mean that you can sit down and write a shtar? If you're buying land from idol worshippers in Eretz Israel, you can write up a document on Shabbos. You're not allowed to write on Shabbos. Writing is one of the avos melachos, one of the primary prohibited activities. So, what do you mean by what does the source mean when it says you're buying land in Syria? It's like buying in the surrounding area of Yerushalayim. You can't say that it means you'll be allowed to write a shtar on Shabbos. The Gemara answers, "Kidomar Rava, Omer Laovik Kichovim Voiseh." As Rava says in Masechet Shabbos regarding another topic, and Rava's ruling is, you can tell an idol worshipper to do something for you on Shabbos. So here too, Hachinami, so too over here with regard to the purchase of land in Syria, the parallel of that, paralleling that purchase to purchasing land outside Yerushalayim, is for this purpose. Oimer lo v'kichovim v'oiseh. Right, you can tell a request of a Gentile to do this melacha for you on Shabbos, writing up the contract of sale on Shabbos. You can ask a goy to do that. Even though there's a general prohibition of requesting an idol worshiper, requesting a Gentile to do forbidden activities. Forbidden, we mean that which a Jew cannot do. You cannot ask a goy to do things for you on Shabbos, and that's a rabbinic prohibition. That's a shavuos. Shavuos means that's a rabbinic prohibition. Mishum yishuv eretz yisrael lo gozu rabbanan. For the sake, for the benefit of fulfilling this mitzvah, here you have a chance to buy land in Eretz Yisrael from a Gentile. The goal is to have Eretz Yisrael owned by the Jews, not by Gentiles. So buying land from the Gentile in Eretz Yisrael is called the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, settling the land of Israel. the rabbis did not impose their rabbinic restriction of asking a goy to do things for you on Shabbos. So therefore, here we have a very special halacha. It's a very unique halacha. It's a unique mitzvah, that is, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Whereas in the performance of other mitzvahs, we don't make an allowance that if in order to perform some other mitzvah, you need to do a malacha, you're not allowed to ask a goy to do it for you, to do the malacha for you. But when it comes to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, buying land away from Gentiles, and you have an opportunity to do this, and it comes out on Shabbos, you can ask the Gentile to write up the shtar for you. So, getting back to our topic of Surya, the same thing will apply. The Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan, Eved Shehevi Gito, a servant, a slave, brought his get. And once you see him bringing get, you understand he's supposed to say b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam. The kosuv bo, and in the get, there is the following. Atzmecha unechosai kenuyin loch. The get, we should have mentioned, get is a term referring to a shtar shikur, a document, and actually it refers also to other documents, all kinds of shtoros, contracts. You find the word get being used as well. So even though we're talking about, we're using the word get, don't think we're referring to a divorce document between husband and wife. So an eved is bringing a shtar, and it's what's written in the shtar, in the contract. V'kosubo atzmecho nechosai kenuyin loch. Atzmecho means your very self, and my properties are kenuyin loch, are now transferred to you. Atzmoy kona nechosim lo kona. When he says b'fonei nechtam, that gives veracity to the document. So the Eved's statement that the shtar is an authentic shtar has bearing with regard to him, the Eved, acquiring ownership of himself. And therefore he's no longer going to be considered enslaved. Unechosim lo kono. However, the properties of this owner are not going to be owned by the slave. In order for the slave to become the owner of the properties referred to in this shtar, he will have to bring regular witnesses to verify the signatures. So in other words, with regard to himself, to his buying, acquiring himself, and hence becoming free, unenslaved, he is believed when he says b'fonei nechtav v'b'fonei nechtam, which we'll say is the authentifying of the document. However, when it comes to ownership of the properties of the owner, wherein the shtar said nechosai kenuyin loch, with regard to that, he, the slave, is not believed. We take a look at the Rashi, who says nechosim lo kona deboi edim kishar kiyum shos. We require witnesses like we do for the verification of any other document. Before going further in the Gemara, let us first emphasize that in the text of this sale, it was reported atzmecha unechosai kenuyin loch, two separate statements. And that being the case, we were able to say that the eved, the slave, is believed when he says b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam, with regard to him acquiring himself, namely going free. But with regard to acquisition of the master's properties, that's a standard property acquisition, and for that we would require regular verification, authentication of signatures. Namely, two witnesses would have to come and testify. But as with regard to himself, like a woman goes free in a divorce where she brings her own get and says, "Befonai nechtav, ubefonai nechtam," she becomes free to marry another man. The slave also becomes a free individual. We continue now with a question. Ibayaloh, kol nechasai kinuyim loch mahu. Let us say the owner says in one phrase, he says to the slave, and he writes a document to the slave in which the following appears: all of my properties are to be acquired by you. Of course, included in the properties is the slave himself. He's an aspect, he's a part of the owner's properties. We look in Rashi. Kol nechosai mahu. We're looking at Rashi the end, toward the end of the narrow lines. Mi amrinon. Do we say atzmecho nechosai trei diburi inenu avol kol nechosai kevan de becha dibura osu le shichur atzmo umatnas nechosim kidekaimelon lekamon hakoisev kol nechosiv avdo yetze ben chorin chu bichlal nechosim. As opposed to the case before, and we highlighted this, that there were two statements. There was Atzmecha and Nechosai. Here, in one statement, he says, all of my properties are for you. So in the previous case, we were able to split. In this case, where it's all rolled up in one phrase, we say that if he is believed with regard to himself, so he's going to be believed with regard to all of the properties as well, and he gets everything. Just like it is taught that if a man assigns all his properties to a slave, the slave goes free, being that he is part of all of the properties. He acquires himself. Rashi goes on to say, Hilkoch imehemon ahai meemon ahai. If he's believed with regard to himself, he's going to be believed regarding the acquisition of all of the other properties, being that it was all part of one statement. Delo palginon dibura. We do not split that which the master said. The master made one statement. We're not going to come along and split it. Oh, Dumo Paginon, or maybe we do. Maybe we have the power, Nazli Halacha, the court has the power to split that which he said in one phrase. This is a concept that you find in other Gemaras as well, the concept of Palginon Dibura. So now the Gemara continues. We raise the question, and you notice we have some markings, the triangles, and they were explained on the side under the Mignet. Three shlavim, three stages. Lifshoit adin shall get shichrut shekot the kosev boy kol nechosai knuyim loch. We also see the use of diamonds and a double underline marking. These diamonds represent shnei gishois shel abaye, two approaches with regard to abaye. Later, Rava will appear, but we're highlighting two approaches of abaye in the meantime. The Gemara. Omar Abai, mitoich shekona atzmo kona nechosim. Since he acquires himself, in other words, the slave acquires his own self, he acquires his freedom, he acquires the other nechosim as well. Omar le Rova. And by the way, through Abai's response, you get the impression that we don't palgino dibur, we don't split. We don't split the statement into two separate elements, namely the slave as one element and the rest of the properties as a separate element. Well, Rava asks, he challenged, Amalei Rava, Bishlamo Atzmo Likni, I understand the slave acquiring himself, Mididave Aget Isha, similar to the way we approach Get Isha, a woman's divorce document. She is believed to bring her own divorce document from abroad to of Eretz Yisrael and say, and tell us, inform us that the get was prepared properly and these are authentic signatures. Ela nechosim lo likni, but as far as the slave acquiring the rest of the owner's properties, let him not acquire that. Midi dehave akium shtoros dalmo. Similar to the need for verification of contracts in general. And how do we verify signatures in general? Two witnesses have to come and verify the signatures. A person is not believed regarding his own document. Hodar Omar Abaye. Then Abaye said, second approach, mitoch shelo kona nechosim, lo kona atzmo. Since he doesn't acquire the rest of the properties, he doesn't acquire even himself. Omar le Rava. Rava here is consistent with what he said before. Bishlamo nechosim lo likni. I understand that the slave doesn't acquire the owner's other properties. Midi davi akim shtoras dalmo. Similar to the general rule of signature verification, which he cannot do on his own. Elo atzmo likni, but as far as himself is concerned, let him acquire himself his own freedom, midi dehave a get isha, similar to get isha, where a woman is believed to say, befonai nechtav, ubefonai nechtav, regarding her own divorce document. Elo Omar Rava. Rava here relates to the two expressions in the contracts that we saw above. In the Tanaic source, we saw Atzmecha Unechosai Knuyim Lach, and the text of the question, namely Kol Nechosai Knuyim Lach. Either one of those, Atzmo Kona Nechosim Lo Kona. He acquires himself, he does not acquire the other properties. A question is raised. You'll notice we have a long question marking. And we continue with the topic of Palginon Dibura with regard to Kinyonim and other related matters. Omar Le Rav Ado Bar Matono L'Rova. Come on. You are saying, you are ruling like whom? Kerebi Shimon Di Omar Palginon Dibura. You seem to be ruling like Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to see why this is, we'll say, a weak position to take. The Gemara later, and as we mentioned, we have a long question at hand, about five lines from the top of Daf Tes Amud Aleph, we're going to find out that even though Rabbi Yossi compliments Rabbi Shimon, the halacha nevertheless doesn't follow that. And follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And that will tell us that the slave does not go free. And yet you're ruling that he does go free. So let's see how the question unfolds. Rav Ada says to Rava, well, you seem to be ruling like Rabbi Shimon, di Omar, palginon dibura. That we can take a single phrase stated by an individual and split it. Disnan. Hakosev kol nechosov liavdo yetzei ben chorin. One who assigns all of his properties to his slave, the slave goes free. The slave, after all, is part of the individual's properties. So the owner of the slave likes the slave very much, and he assigns all of his properties to the slave. The slave goes free, and he acquires the rest of the properties. Shir karka kol shehu, lo yetze ben chorin. If the owner assigns all of his properties except for something, Rashi says that the word karka is lav dafka, doesn't mean specifically land, it means anything. The owner assigns everything to his slave except for something. Lo yetze ben chorin, he does not go free. And the reason for that is, once the owner is leaving something out of the gift, the transfer to the slave, it could be that the owner is, what was being left out is in fact the slave himself, that the owner was not transferring ownership of the slave to the slave himself. And the fact that he's transferring everything else to the slave except for him, except for the slave himself, Rashi says he was doing that simply to flatter the slave, but he wasn't freeing him. He did not say atzmecho unechosai knuyim loch. He didn't say you and the rest of my properties are to be yours. We continue, Rabbi Shimon Omer, we continue now at the top of Tesomet Aleph, Li'olam Hu Ben Chorin. Under all circumstances, he will be free. Ad Sheyoymar, Kol Nechosai Nesunim Leploni Avdi, Chutz Me Echod Me Ribo Shemahen. You are a free man. Unless he uses this expression that all of my properties are given to you except for 1/10,000th of them. We should point out a distinction between the Tanakama, the first opinion, and Rabbi Shimon. In the case of the Tanakama, the owner was giving everything over to the slave except for either a small piece of karka or some other item. But it would appear that he specified the item that he was not transferring. The Tanakama said in such a case, slave does not go free. The reason being that once the owner involves himself with withholding, it's called shiur. He mentions that he's withholding something, then that will include that he's withholding the slave as well. Rav Shimon says, not so. If you mention you're withholding something from the sale, so that which you said, you're withholding, that doesn't mean you're withholding the slave. When is it then, according to Rav Shimon, that the slave will not go free? If you don't specify that which you're withholding, you said, I'm giving you everything except for 1/10,000th of my property. What property? We don't know. That would refer to the slave himself. If that's what he says, so then he won't go free. Rashi elaborates, and we must learn the Rashi together. On the top line, at the end of the line, says, Ad sheyoymar stam. The slave will always go free, according to Rav Shimon, until he says in a stam, in a non-specified fashion, chutz mi dover muat, except for a little bit. V'lo yifaresh ma hu mishayar. He doesn't specify what he's withholding. This, of course, is different than the Tanakama, where once, according to the Tanakama, once you specify that you're withholding something, regardless of what it is, the slave will not go free. According to Rav Shimon, if you specify that which you're withholding, the slave will go free. The Hosam Amrinon, when you don't specify that which you're withholding, we say the Echod Meribo de Komar, the 1/10,000th of my properties that I'm withholding, Hainu Eved, that's the Eved himself. V'ihu lo choshev le'elo ke'echod miribo nechosim. In his eyes, in the owner's eyes, the slave is worth only 1/10,000th of his holdings. Afagav d'shovi tve, even though in reality he might be worth more. U'midikomer Reb Shimon li'olam hu ben chorin. From the fact that Reb Shimon uses this expression that he's always going to go free, with the exception of that one case, since he uses that expression, ashminon, Rabbi Shimon is telling us, Lo shno hecha dekona sha'ar nechosim imoi. Whether a slave acquires the other properties along with himself, kegon shepiresh hashiur sheshier chutz mikarka ploni. What's the case? Where is there a case that the slave gets all the other properties according to Rabbi Shimon? Where the owner specified, I'm giving you everything except for a specific piece of ground or some other specific item. In a case where he specified the shiur, so the slave gets everything else. Whether it be a case where the slave doesn't get the other properties. Where the owner said, I'm giving you everything except for a piece of ground. He doesn't specify which one. The kosav le chutz mi base kur kakam. So I'm giving you all of my property except for base court is a measure, a certain measure of ground. The hashto lo kono shum karka there, he won't, the slave won't acquire any ground. The b'chol chad v'chad, ikol ameimar, dahinu ahu tashir, regarding every other piece of ground, that might be the one that the owner is withholding. So the slave cannot get any ground. Afilu hachi hu ben chorin. Nevertheless, the slave himself becomes free. To who lav karku? He is a human being. He's not a piece of ground. Velo shirei, and the owner wasn't withholding him. Almo palgino dibura. What do we see from this? And this is really the main point. We see, according to Shimon, this concept of splitting one's speech. Daha kol nechosai kol marle. The owner said, "I'm giving you everything." Velo kona elo esatzmo, and at the end of the day, he gets only himself. He doesn't get any ground, even though the text of the contract was, "You're getting everything except for," we said, "except for a piece of ground." What does he end up with? Only himself. The at nami de koamris atzmo kona nechosim lo kona. You, Rova, that said that the slave gets himself, but he doesn't get the other nechosim. Regardless of the language used, it must be Rabbi Shimon Sril. You must hold like Rabbi Shimon. Let's go back to our Gemara. Here, the question comes to a head. This is all, of course, Rav Ado Bar Matana's question to Rava. The Omer of Yosef Bar Menyumi Omer Rav Nachmon, Afal Pisha Kiles Reb Yosi Es Rabbi Shimon. Even though Rabbi Yosi, this will be demonstrated very later. We'll see the source for this. Even though Rabbi Yossi praises Rabbi Shimon, halacha ke Rabbi Meir. The halacha, though, follows Rabbi Meir, who the result of which is the slave does not go free. Desanya kishenemru dvorim lufnei Rabbi Yossi, when this was taught over to Rabbi Yossi. Korolova mikrazeh, Rabbi Yossi referred to Reb Shimon's teaching, Sfosayim Yishak Meshiv Dvorim Nechochim. Rashi says, Ro'ui hu lenashek. He is fit to be kissed. But as we said, Rabbi Yossi might be praising Rabbi Shimon's teaching, but the halacha follows Rabbi Meir, that the slave does not go free. And that is Rav Ado's question on Rava. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Rav Nachman Hochi. Does Rav Nachman really say thusly, namely, Lo Palginon Dibura? By presenting Rav Nachman as a ruling like Rabbi Meir, you're basically saying Lo Palginon Dibura, that we don't split. Rabbi Meir was the Tanakama of the source that we saw quoted at the bottom of Ches Omid Beis. There was a source that said, Kosev Kol Nechosov Le'avdo, and Shir Karka Kolshu, where the owner withholds a piece of ground, he, the slave, does not go free. We said once the owner gets involved with withholding something, anything, the slave just doesn't go free. We don't split his statement and say the slave goes free, the slave acquires himself, and the rest he does not get. Rabbi Meir says the slave simply doesn't go free. We don't split the comment, the text of the owner. So here we're asking, does Rav Nachman really rule like that? The Omar Rav Yosef Bar Menyumi Omar Rav Nachman Shchiv Meira Shekosav Kol Nechosav Liavdoi V'Yomad. A Shchiv Meira is a person on his deathbed, and he assigned all his properties to his slave, and then he got better. Choser B'Nechosim V'Eino Choser B'Eved. He gets back his properties, but he doesn't get the slave back. The slave will go free. Now this is Rav Nachman's ruling, and he explains Choyzer b'nechosim matnas shchiv meirahu. Now we haven't given background to this, but here we can tell you that when a person is on his deathbed, in order to in order to not hasten his death through anxiety or fear that his wishes will not be granted. The halacha says that the words of a shrimra, that which he says, are considered signed, sealed, and delivered. So the shrimra, with regard to the rest of his nechosim, the main point we left out, the whole matona of the shrimra, and that we say it's like signed, sealed, and delivered, as we said, it's only so as not to arouse his anxieties. However, if he gets better, he gets back whatever he was assigning, whatever he was giving away. His whole point in giving things away was because he was anticipating his death. But if he gets better, so he gets back. He doesn't. Is the matona that he was giving away, where he was giving away all of his properties, and I emphasize all of his properties, that's a sign of a person who's giving away as a result of his anticipation of death. He gets his properties back when he gets better, because the whole gift was, as we said, only out of fear of death. The anal chozer b'evet, however, he doesn't get his slave back, even though he got better. Shreyotza alav shem ben chorin. The slave, when all of the properties were initially assigned to the slave acquired a title, a reputation of someone who is going to become a free man. As a result of acquiring all of the properties of this individual, including himself, the slave himself, he becomes considered a free man. We call the shame ben chorin sets upon him. And once the shame ben chorin sets upon him, you cannot re-enslave him. So what do we see from this? We see palginon dibure. Once again, the gift was a total gift. The Shchivmer assigned everything to his slave. Shchivmer gets better, a split. The property is returned to the Shchivmer, but the slave, he goes free. He doesn't get returned to the owner. Elo Omar Ravashi. At this point then, we see that Rav Nachman holds palginon dibura. Well then, what about before, where Rav Nachman ruled like Rebbe Meir, which was raised as a challenge to Rava? So Elomar Ravashi hosom hainu taimo. There, in the case of Rav Nachman's ruling like Rebbe Meir above, that the slave does not go free, hainu taimo mishum delav krus gita hu. It's not a complete cut-off. And we'll explain this. First of all, we look in the Rashi. Hossam. A few lines down from here. Hossam. The Omer of Nachman Aloch Rebbe Meir. The ruling of Rav Nachman above, like Rebbe Meir. Lav mishum delo palginon diburahu. It's not a function of this idea that we don't split what a person says. The Hokinami Hiskir Shom Shiur Karka Ploni, in a case where a man says, I'm giving to my slave everything except for the garage that's located at the corner of Poplar and Elm Street. Very specific location, a very specific withholding. Deleka plukta di dibura. There, when there, where all of the property is assigned to a slave except for a specified piece of property, that doesn't represent our splitting his words. There, he very clearly delineated everything goes to the slave except for that garage at the corner of Poplar and Elm Streets. Ka'omar Rebbe Meir delo yetze lecherus. Rebbe Meir says even there, the slave does not go free. Why not? Ela taimo mishum delav kruskitahu. There is not, it's not a complete, there's not a complete break. The Gabi Ishuk Siv, when it comes to a woman divorce, it says sefer krisus. The Torah says v'kosav lo sefer krisus. You will write for her a document of break. Krisus, kores, is to be broken apart. The rules of a servant being set free are learned from the woman divorce laws. Dechtiv, chufsha lo nitan lo. Uksiv v'kosav lo. That pasuk of chufsha is a pasuk referring to slaves. And in that pasuk you see the word law. And in the case of a woman divorce, it says the kosav law, also the word law, ubo inon, behu krisus, and require the document should be a complete break. The kevan deiko lemeima de shire, and since in the case where a person assigns all his properties to a slave except for a specified piece of property, he's descended into the realm of withholding, for who lo huskar besoch hamatona, the slave is not mentioned in the gift, in the assignment of property. The lo kosav le atzmicha unechosai knuyim loch, he doesn't say you and my properties are yours. Lav krisus gomor hu, it's not a complete break. Aval hecha de lo shier, however, where he doesn't withhold anything, have a krisus lotzeis v'nishtacher shoachas kozman shelo chozar v'shuv ein yochol lachzor shekitcho Hashem. In the case of a shchiv mira, where he writes over everything without anything being withheld, so he becomes, we'll say, he's initially freed. For a moment, as long as the shmirah didn't get better. So when he does get better, so man's already got a name of freedom upon him. You can't re-enslave him. V'gavi milsei derova be'evet shehevi kito, with regard to Rova's case of a slave that brought his shichur, krus kita hu. In that case, where the Eved brought a document that said, "Kol," it said, "Atzmacha unechosai knuyim loch," or "Kol nechosai knuyim loch." Take the case of Atzmacha unechosai knuyim loch. Rava said that the slave acquires himself, but he doesn't acquire the rest of the properties. And the reason for that is because of, we say, that the rest of the properties you need kiyum hashtar for. But himself, he goes free based on palginon dibura. We split up, even though the owner said, you get yourself and all of my properties, we say, you get yourself, not the rest of the properties. That works through Pagina Dibura, and that is what that's what Rava ruled, and it's not at odds with Rav Nachman. As we said before, Rav Nachman says that in principle we hold from Palginon Dibura, and as far as the case of the Shchiv Meirash, Kosav Kol Nechosav Lavdo, and the Omad, the slave goes free because of the Shem Ben Chorin. The rest of the properties he gets back as the standard rule of Shchivera She'omad. So just to review the main point once again, the question on Rava that Rav Ada raised, as we revealed through Rashi, is really not a question. The ruling that we saw Rav Nachman ruling like Rebbe Meir, that was because it was a case of lav krus gita. It wasn't a complete break. There was something withheld in that case where the owner signed everything to the slave except for whatever. That's Lav Krus Gita. Rava was not dealing with a situation of anything being withheld. Rava was dealing with an Eved who brought a document indicating that the Eved acquires everything. Ah, we saw Rava ruling that he gets himself, but he doesn't get the rest of the properties. That's because himself he gets, similar to any a woman bringing her own get. She goes free. The other properties, that we're lacking the kiyum hashtar, we're lacking the witnesses, we can't rely on the slave himself regarding the rest of the properties. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta said that a get that is brought in Eretz Yisrael, so the shliach does not have to say, b'fonai nechtav u'b'fonai nechtam. Ve'im yeshalov urin, the Mishnah said, yiskayim b'choismov. If there is urin, the expression meaning challenge to the authenticity of the get, then have it verified, yiskayim b'choismov, have the signatures authenticated. The Gemara. Im yeshalov urin, yiskayim b'choismov. If there is urin, the challenging the kashrus of the get, so have the signatures authenticated. Irer kama, how many were challenging the authenticity of this get? And you see the double underline marking simply is to highlight the stages of analysis. He lema aror chad. If you're going to say that there was one person that came to challenge the get. Well, Vomarav Yochanan, Divrei HaKol, Ein Arar Pochus Mishnayim. Everyone agrees that a questioning, a challenging, cannot be with less than two. Two people would have to come and say and question the authenticity of the get. Viela Arar Trey. Well, then you might say that two are coming to challenge the authenticity of the get. So what did the Mishnah say? If they're Urin, so then have two witnesses come and verify the signatures. So what will that do? Even if two come in, Trey Utrey Ninhu, it's still then two against two. My chos is the samchis ahani smoch ahani. Why would you rely on the testimony of signature verification against two that say that it's a fraud, it's a forgery? So that's not the case either. Elo ir aror de baal. It's where the husband comes to challenge the authenticity of the get. If he comes to say that the get is a forgery, so if you bring two witnesses that can verify the signatures in it, the get will remain kosher. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.